lengths of teachers teaching the same truth.
I didn't really appreciate it.
He writes on Timothy and he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that will be able to teach others also. The Apostle Paul tells this young preacher, says, commit these things to faithful men that will be able to teach others also. The Apostle Paul expects that there'll be other generations of teachers coming on after he's gone. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 1 that the gospel he preached, that he didn't learn it of men, wasn't taught it by men. He got it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, teacher number 1, taught the Apostle Paul, teacher number 2, who's to teach Timothy, teacher number 3, who's to teach faithful men, group 4, who are to be able to teach others also. There's 5, if I haven't miscounted. What are they to teach? The things that thou hast heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that shall be able to teach others also. He said the same commit thou. Not a version, a perversion, or alteration, or modification, but the same commit thou to faithful men. Now then, some folk, if they can't criticize a preacher any other way, they say, well, that is good, but he got it from so-and-so. That is good, just a young preacher especially. That's good, but he just borrowed it from so-and-so. Well, I heard so-and-so preach that once upon a time, probably borrowed it from him, got it off his tape. So what? The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that'll be able to teach others also. You know what he said? He said, hear it, and if it's the truth, preach it to somebody else. I was preaching a meeting in Lubbock, Texas, 1977. Elder Boyd referred to it the other night. I hadn't considered until he told me. He joined the church about Wednesday night of that meeting. But there's also a pastor of a Southern Baptist church came out, and I'm not saying that to throw off on them, just to let you know who I'm talking about. And he said, these primitive Baptist relatives of mine give me a lot of your tapes. He said, I use a lot of your stuff. I said, that's fine. If my bullets will fit your gun, shoot them. Well, as few of my bullets happen to fit his gun. I say that to any preacher on earth. I don't have any patent or any copyright on anything I preach. If any of my bullets will fit your gun, shoot them and forget about where you got it. Somebody better start shooting because we're encircled on every side. He says, hear it. If it's the truth, preach it to somebody else. One other thing I must deal with in that text. I find over in the Old Testament the children of Israel spent several years in the Babylonian captivity. While they were down there in Babylon, their children picked up a foreign language, the language of Ashdod. Now, when they're brought back home, and you read about this in Ezra and Nehemiah, the Bible tells us that their children could not speak in the language of Israel or the Hebrews. They spake half in the language of Ashdod. They were told to put away their foreign wives. It bothers me from time to time to hear what I consider some of the language of Ashdod coming from our pulpits and being circulated among our people. It's not the language of Old Baptist. It's not the language of Israel. It's the language of Ashdod. And just give you a quick example, and I could wear you out with this. Just give you a little quick example. Sometimes I hear folks say, well, we need to witness to so-and-so. We need to do more witness. I witnessed to somebody over here. Let's go back to this text. The Apostle Paul tells this young man, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men that shall be able to teach others also. He didn't say witness to others also. He said teach others also. The only people that could witness to these things that are in the Bible were people that actually saw and experienced those things. Thank you. I can read what the witnesses put there, and I can try to teach them to God's people. The only things I can witness to you about are things I've experienced and things God's done for me. As far as this over here is concerned, there's a shift there from who did the witnessing and who did the teaching. It kind of bugs me the way folks sling around some of this jargon they're borrowing from the world. But got to get back to the text. The Apostle Peter says, and got to get to this fast. He knows he's at the end of life journey. He says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And the Apostle Peter expects these things to be taught after he's dead. Doesn't expect the Lord to come back any minute, because he says, moreover, I will endeavor that you'll be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. There are people going to be and need to remember these things after my decease. Now watch this. The Apostle Peter goes back to something he personally experienced. He says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he says, and this voice, when there came a voice from heaven unto him saying, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. And he said, this voice which came from heaven, we heard while we were with him, in the Holy Mount. It's obvious the Apostle Peter is referring to something that happened earlier in his life that's recorded in your Bible, 17th chapter of Matthew, 9th chapter of Mark, 9th chapter of Luke. There was a time when the Lord goes with Peter, James, and John up on the mountain of the Transfiguration. And on that mountain of the Transfiguration, they saw the Lord's face shine as the sun, his raiment as the light. They saw Jesus appearing in glory. They saw with him Moses and Elijah in glory. Peter here is getting a preview of the coming of the Lord. He said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And there's lots of preaching in that you can study out, or I know Brother Ed's no doubt preached it to you, or will. On that mountain of the Transfiguration, they see the Lord in glory. They see Elijah, a man who never died but was translated right into heaven in glory. They see Moses, a man who died and was buried in Deuteronomy 34. They see him in glory. What we have here is a picture of the Lord appeared in glory. Here's the Lord in glory, of course. But with him is a translated saint who never died. With him is a man who is resurrected. For him to appear in glory, he'll have to be resurrected. On this mountain, we have Jesus in glory. We have with him a translation saint, and we have with him a resurrection saint. Jesus spoke in John chapter 11, talking to Martha and Mary, as he comes to the tomb of Lazarus
without dying.
He says, I am the resurrection. Back when I was a youngster, I used to hear people say all the time, you'll never get out of this world alive. Well, some people already have. Enoch and Elijah, and some people yet will. Well, he's seeing a picture of this. We've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Apostle Peter says, we didn't make all this up. They were accused of making it up. But he said, we didn't make this up. If I had time, which I don't, I'd talk to you, give you a little hint. This world is filled with cunningly devised fables.
Oh, yeah.
Darwinism, spontaneous generation of life, taught in most every school system in America, is a cunningly devised fable. Many cunningly devised fables out here in the religious world. There are a lot of folk following cunningly devised fables. The Apostle Paul warns us not to give heed to Jewish fables. A lot of stuff taught in the denominational world, the roots of it are in Jewish fables. Think it out. Now, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Peter says, I experienced this, I saw it. Now, listen to this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. He says, in addition to that, we have something more sure. More sure than what? More sure than what I experienced. You say, oh, how could anything be stronger than what he experienced? He said, I've got something more sure than what I experienced. I know Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's an apostle, which I'm not. But sometimes folks lean heavily on their dreams. They lean heavily on what they think are special revelations. They lean heavily on what they think are special experiences. Well, I value my experiences, but people can be deceived in their experiences. You can draw the wrong lesson from your experiences. Maybe not be able to understand your own experiences. He says, we have also a more sure. More sure than what? More sure than what I've been telling you about. Here's something more sure than what my personal experience. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. He says, as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The Apostle Peter now is speaking about that more sure word of prophecy, which are those books some of you, those Bibles some of you have in your laps, those Bibles that, like I carry in my pocket. He says, we have something more sure than anything you've ever experienced. You know what that is? It's God's divinely inspired, infallible word. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Something more sure than any experience you've ever had. In fact, if you've had an experience, try to interpret your experience in the light of the Word. Don't get carried away by your experience, your dream, your revelation, whatever it is, unless you can confirm it in the Word. If it contradicts the Word, you might have the wrong interpretation of your experience. And then he goes on to tell us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. Allow me to stop right there. God's people in different denominational groups over the centuries have interpreted that verse different ways. Very quickly. Largest body on earth claiming to be Christian with their headquarters at Rome, Italy, puts an interpretation on it like this. That you individual disciples out here are not supposed to be trying to study the Bible, learn it for yourselves, because that'd be private interpretation. Therefore, the College of Cardinals and the head of the church, the Pope, the infallible head of the church, that they're the infallible interpreters of Scripture, they'll interpret it for you. Oh, you know, you can read it, certainly. But you don't have any business trying to interpret it, read it, figure it out for yourselves. In a minute, we're going to see if that's what this verse teaches. Second idea I've heard advocated on this in my life is that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, which means that no Scripture, no prophecy, no Scripture is to be interpreted all by itself without bearing in mind the testimony of the other Scriptures. Well, that last thing I said is the truth. However, I don't think it's the main teaching of the text. Now, I want to say that once again. Elder Obercummins, Brother Kirkpatrick and I were discussing him a few minutes back. Elder Obercummins said something to me when I was a teenager that's meant a lot to me. He said to me back when I was a teenager, he said, you're going to have to develop enough charity in life that if a man gets up and preaches the truth and uses the wrong text to prove it, you'll have to shake his hand and call him your brother. There have been lots of times I've seen folk fly off the handle, even preachers fly off the handle because somebody preached something. I say, well, is anything wrong with what he preached? You know what the problem was? He used the wrong text to prove it. I don't expect everybody that gets up here to use the same text to prove the same things that I do. I wish you would. Rather you would, you know, suit me better. But my friends, many, many times we can preach the truth and use the wrong text to prove it. I could give you a lot of vivid illustrations, but you can think for yourselves. Okay, it is true that I'm not supposed to just take one text, try to explain it without considering the rest of the Scripture. Question is that the teaching of this text? I'm going to try to show that it is not. The teaching of the text is something else. But I must go back to idea one, which I left hanging. That you individual folks out here are not supposed to try to study the Scriptures, figure it out for yourselves, understand it for yourselves, or else that'd be private interpretation of the Scripture. There's a world of difference between private interpretation and trying to come to private understanding or form private judgment. To begin with, I find place after place in the Bible where God's people are commanded to read and study. I come to the 34th chapter of Isaiah, verse 16, and God's people are told to seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. I find when the Lord was on this earth, he told his disciples, John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Now we come to the 17th chapter of Acts. The Apostle Paul is traveling from Jewish synagogue to Jewish synagogue. He's been to Thessalonica, to the synagogue. Now he comes to Berea. And he says, those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. These people are commended because they received it with readiness of mind, and then search the Scriptures where those things are so.
Sounds to me like some folk are trying to form private judgment or come to their own private understanding. Okay, now, we're not done. I find where the Apostle Paul writes the church at Ephesus, he's not writing to the preachers, he's writing to the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, maybe 4. He says, howbeit, he said, the Lord hath made known unto me the mystery, which he says, revelation of the mystery, which I wrote afore in few words. But here's what I want. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I wrote some things. I intend for you to read them. Telling the church to read. And the purpose for reading is that you come to understanding. These things were written to be understood. Whereby when you read. Now we come to Matthew chapter 24. Lord says, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. He says, when ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, in parentheses, Holy Spirit puts, whoso readeth, let him understand. You might say, well, that is said to those apostles. Even if you want to fulfill that at the destruction of Jerusalem, every last one of those apostles was dead, except the Apostle John, who was off in exile on Patmos. In the next place, those apostles didn't have to read to understand. They had a special gift. This is written to some people down the road somewhere that are going to need to read Daniel in order to understand. Reading. Now then, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, look at this, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. What are you supposed to do? When you hear something preached, prove it by the Word of God, hold fast that which is good. 1 John 4:1. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. If I'm going to try something, I've got to have a testing device. So a tape measure is a testing device. Scale's a testing device. So's a level and a plumb line and a straight edge. My wife has this little torpedo level she keeps hidden around the house. I have a big one. I quite often have to use levels, and I guarantee you my wife will argue the level. They're defective. Anyway, some of you haven't caught on. Well, she sights on something up, you know how this goes. Oh, they've been there? Okay, oh, fine. But anyway, I come up here and I say, look at your little level. Well, anyway, I won't give you all the details. Think you done got this figured out. That picture's not plumb. It's not up and down. Now, your level says it is. Oh, but that's a testing device. You see what we're doing? Now, how could I test things if I didn't have any testing device? He says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Try them by what? You've got to have something to try it by. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse after verse after verse instructs God's people to read, instructs God's people to search, commends people who just receive it, but they don't swallow it down until they've tested it by the Word of God. Next verse will tell us the true interpretation of this text. He says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What he's telling you is that these men that God used to write the Bible did not privately interpret Scripture. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These are not just their own ideas. These are not just their thoughts and whims. He says, it came not by the will of man. He says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know why they didn't privately interpret it? They were guided by the Holy Ghost. Now let me draw a few perhaps peripheral thoughts, just a couple that I thought about. I hope the Lord gave them to me just a short while back. Maybe the rest of you have already thought of it. I had not. They did not privately interpret these things. Why? because they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were guided by the Holy Ghost, therefore they didn't privately interpret it. That teaches me that I better preach it as I'm guided by the Holy Ghost, or I'm liable to wind up privately interpreting. Also warns me that as I read it, I better pray that I'll be guided by the Holy Ghost as I read it, because without the Holy Ghost, I'm liable to wind up privately interpreting it and come up with some divers and strange ideas. The Apostle Peter says, I have two strong witnesses. Here's something I experienced. I saw it myself. But he says, I have something more sure than that. That's God's Word. Thank you for your real good attention. God bless you. It's been a joy to be with you. Thank you, brother. Come ahead, brother.